Morning, Isa and Tommy. Morning, Grace. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you all here again as we gather together to worship God. A little bit of intimation, you will have seen on the TV that the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has said that churches can reopen. What she hasn't said is that all the legislation that has to be covered, all the checks that have to be done before we can reopen. So just to assure you all, we are working on it. Lots of things to be checked out. And also we have to work out how many people we can safely have in the church building at one time, maintaining the 2 meter distance. And we'll not be allowed to have any singing once we're back in church, which is going to make for a very different sort of service. And we're not allowed to stop and have teas and coffees at the end of the service or at the beginning for that matter. So it's going to be a very different experience. Our thoughts at the moment are that we're very aware there are members of our congregation who are not able to access any of our worship services. They're not connected on the internet. They haven't been able to phone in. So what we want to try and do is prioritize them first of all. So if you can think of anybody, if you know of anyone in that category, someone who is normally a regular attender at church and is really missing it because they don't have any other way of accessing our services, please let Margaret, our session clerk, know. And these will be the people that we'll be inviting to join us at first. They'll get priority because we're probably only going to be able to seat 22 upwards, 22 individuals. But if people are living together, then they can come together. So it will be a wee bit more than 22. But it's obviously a lot less than we normally have in our building on a Sunday morning. So please keep all our elders in your prayers, because there's such a lot of paperwork and preparation going into this and a lot of difficult decisions to be made. So thank you. We will keep you updated as we go along. The other intimation is that I'm off for 2 weeks' holiday tomorrow morning. Yay! And I'm delighted to say that our moderator, the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Fair, is going to be leading worship the next 2 Sundays. It sounds so impressive, but actually he's done a wonderful thing. He's produced 2 video services and made them available to all ministers because he's so aware of how difficult it is to get pulpit supply at the moment. So I'm pleased to say that Robert Allen is going to introduce the service each week, but pretty much the whole service is led by the moderator and a few other people with him. I hope you'll really enjoy that. I think these are all the intimations. Our service today, we're focusing on the raising of Lazarus, another one of the favourite stories that I was sent. And we're going to have a slightly different look to the service today. But let's remember, as always, that we are here to worship God. God is love. And we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love, which drives out all fear. So we move into our opening psalm. We're reading this morning some verses from Psalm 119. And as usual, the alternate verses are in bold for you to read along at home. And Laura Jane, who's our Bible reader for today, is going to read them for the recording. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path.
I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws.
Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And our opening hymn today is Lord of Creation. It's number 500 in the hymn books, for those of you using a hymn book at home. Number 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Beautiful hymn. Today's Bible reading, the story of Lazarus, is a particularly long one, so I decided that we would divide it into two very unequal parts. And so I've asked Laura Jane to read the first 16 verses, and then I will reflect on these verses, and then slightly later I'll get Laura Jane to read the rest of the passage. But just before she starts, thank you for the reminder. Today we're celebrating Holy Communion, later in the service. So if you haven't already got something to drink, wine, iron brew, water, whatever is your choice, and something to eat, preferably a piece of bread, but whatever you have to hand. If you haven't got these ready, now is the time to go and get them ready. Okay, thanks. Laura Jane, over to you.
The death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus, now really ill, was the same one who had prepared him on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death, though it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." But Rabbi said, "A short while ago, the Jews are trying to stone you, and yet you're going back." Jesus answered, "I do not tell the hours of daylight. Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for to see by the world's light, and to have heard to walk at night, they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I am not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, see the eye with him." Amen.
Thanks, Laura Jane. Sorry, the sound was breaking up a wee bit there. We'll try and have it better for the second part. What fascinates me about this first section of the reading is the glimpses that we are given of other characters and stories, which at first sight don't seem to be related to the main story. First of all, of course, we're introduced to Lazarus, the central character in the story, and later in the service we're going to focus on him. Then we meet his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, don't know about the rest of you, but when I think of Martha and Mary, I immediately think of that story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet while her sister Martha busied herself preparing food for the guests, and complains to Jesus, "Why don't you tell my sister to help me?" But that's not mentioned here by John in his gospel. Instead, he links Mary as the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, in that story, as it's told in Luke's gospel, the woman not only poured perfume and wiped them with her hair, but also wet Jesus' feet with her tears. So I wonder whether John, by using that story, was preparing us for Jesus himself crying later in the story. But there's a strange paradox, because if we read on in John's Gospel, we'll find that in the next chapter, chapter 12, John gives us this very story of Mary pouring pure nard on Jesus' feet at a dinner given after Lazarus has been raised. So this makes it clear that the Bible is not a history book. It's a book written revealing Jesus and the good news that he brings. The other seemingly out of place character here is Thomas. Now again, I'm sure if I mentioned the name Thomas, most of us would say, oh yeah, doubting Thomas. That one of the disciples who refused to believe that the other disciples had seen the resurrected Jesus until he had actually seen and touched for himself. And sometimes he's portrayed as a character who lacked faith. And yet here, just towards the end of this passage, we see that Thomas is stronger in faith than the others, as he encourages the disciples to do the dangerous thing and go back to Judea with Jesus, that we may die with him. You see, if we read the Bible literally, just word for word, it's a bit like swimming on the surface of the sea. It's a great experience, but we miss so much if we don't dive in below the surface. And one of the ways that I certainly use for diving in below the surface is to allow the Spirit to speak to me as we listen or read a Bible reading, and just see which bits I'm being directed to, or which particular character. And then I spend time imagining, based on the scripture, what it was like for that character. Our second reflection is a very good example of that, written by Nick Fawcett. But when we come to the second part of the reading, I want to encourage you all to be open to a prompting. And if there's one particular character who seems to speak to you, hold that, and later in the week, come back to the passage and delve deep, dive in below the surface of this passage and explore that character that God has brought to your mind. But for now, let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. There are going to be some responses during this prayer, so I encourage you to say them at home. I think it'll become obvious where they are. Loving, living God, we thank you and praise you for all the characters and stories in the Bible. Help us to dive deeper into your word, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us to the pearls and wonders you have prepared for us. Help us to learn what you are teaching us. For all the ways good conquers evil, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways love conquers hate, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways joy conquers sorrow, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways faith conquers doubt, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways peace conquers war, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways trust conquers fear, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways truth conquers falsehood, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways humility conquers vengeance, Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways life conquers death. Lord, we praise you.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the reasons we have to rejoice, to worship, and to exult. Lord, we praise you. And now move into our prayers of confession with the response, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the ways we have failed you, Lord, have mercy. For all the ways we will fail you again, Lord, have mercy. For all the ways we have failed our neighbor, Lord, have mercy. For all the ways we have failed our loved ones, Lord,
have mercy.
For all the ways we have failed your church, Lord,
have mercy.
For all the ways we have failed ourselves, Lord,
have mercy.
We have no claim, Lord, on your goodness, no reason to expect forgiveness, for in so many ways we let you down. But we come, trusting in your unfailing love and asking, Lord, have mercy. And we listen to Jesus' words from Mark 2 and verse 17. Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And now let us say the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. We now move on to the second part of the gospel reading. Laura Jane's going to read verses 17 to 44 for us.
Jesus comforts Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, Notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her. Supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her all weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But someone said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was the table of a slowly across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time it's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his own words.
Thank you, Laura Jane. I think we're having issues with internet connection again, which is a real pity. But before I move into the second reflection, we're going to listen to a hymn which was introduced to me, certainly, by a member of the Catholic Church here in Forth. And it's a really beautiful hymn that we've sung a few times in church. It's called I Watched the Sunrise.
The funeral industry has been ripping off the public for more than a decade because the majority of people don't know. Thank you.
now going to read a meditation on the passage that Laura Jane read for us. And it's written by one of the real experts at imaginative reflections, Nick Fawcett. So I hope you still have in your head which of the characters in that reading really spoke to you. As you listen to this, which focuses on Lazarus, quite an unusual character to focus on. It was so weird, so unreal. At least that's how it felt. And yet it happened. I'd breathed my last. No question about that. After those long, dark days of sickness, the pain growing, the strength failing, after those final terrible hours, sweat pouring down my face, lungs gasping for air, at last came peace, darkness closing about me. Suddenly welcome, though it had long been feared. An end to the struggle, the battle nearly over. For a moment, I was a child again, comforted by my mother's embrace. A youth running wild as the wind. A man setting out afresh on life's great adventure. A father taking my child into my arms, and then rest. The light went out, the flame extinguished, the game completed. Only it wasn't, for suddenly a voice summoned me back to the fray. Sunshine bursting into the tomb, and consciousness returned. No wonder they gasped. No wonder they swooned. No wonder they wept for joy. For I, who had been taken from them, I, who had been dead, was alive. And yes, I thanked him. Of course I did. Once the confusion had cleared away, but it took a while, I can tell you. And even now, just once in a while, I wonder if he really did me any favours. For I know that one day I must face it all over again. Yet it will be different then, very different. Not just because I've been there before and know there's nothing to fear, but because Jesus has shown me that death is not so much the end as the beginning. That's why he raised me from the tomb, not just to restore life, not simply to defer death, but to point to a new birth, a resurrection which only he can bring. He came back too, you know, back from beyond the grave. 3 days in his tomb, long enough for decay to take hold. But he appeared to Mary, to Peter, to the apostles, to us all. And we know that even though we die, one day we shall live, even as he lives now. Amen. So as we move from that imagination of what it meant to Lazarus to realize that death is not the end. Let's move into the practical experience of this as we celebrate Holy Communion. Gathered around a table is where Jesus so often met people. Gathered around the table of Matthew, the table of Zacchaeus, table of Simon, table of Peter, the table of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Gathered round a table where he could see people face to face, listen to their stories, share their laughter. And here, now, although we are each in our own home, we are also gathered around a table, because this is where Jesus has promised to be for those who want to meet him. So let's accept his invitation and feel welcome at this table. Jesus Christ, who here offers us a foretaste of eternal life, invites us all to be his guests. Before we enter fully into communion, we're going to have a contemplative hymn. It's one that we have sung before in church, but I'm going to encourage you today at home to listen to the beautiful music. And the words will be on the screen. Allow them to sink into your souls. We do here We do because it is Jesus' will. For he it was who once in an upstairs room sat at a meal with his disciples. During the meal, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body. It is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. We take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth and the work of human hands, through which Jesus has promised to make himself known. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us also follow his example. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, for you are the one from whom we came and the one to whom we will return. You conceived the universe, wove the world together, and hold all life in your hand. You watch us waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed. You hear every prayer we make. You know both our best and our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain, wind, and sunshine, with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints from long ago, with our loved ones who are gathered around your heavenly table, we praise you. With the church throughout the world, Orthodox and Lutheran, Catholic and Reformed, all who love Jesus and honour his name, we praise you, singing the hymn of your everlasting glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power,
and might,
heaven and earth
full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, blessed is he who was born among us incognito, who grew up without privilege or status, who walked the way to heaven through the back streets of this world, who told the deepest truths in ordinary language, who touched and healed, blessed and disturbed, without fear or favour, who showed inclusive love in all its unconditional glory, who, for all this, was crucified, died, and was buried, who for all this and for all of us rose again, who, though high in heaven, is present with us here and now. Blessed is he in all his love and beauty. God beyond holiness, as we do what Jesus once did, let your spirit move among us to settle on this bread and this wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ. And let that same Spirit stir our souls, so that as we share this sacrament, we may recognize our Lord and receive him, that he may be in us and we in him forever. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take this and eat it. It is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." And then later during the meal, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." The one who is unseen and who promised to be with us to the end of the world keeps his promise in this bread. The one whose unseen spirit descended on his disciples with startling power embraces us in this cup. The gifts of God for the family of God. This do in remembrance of me. So now let us all take our piece of bread, and as we eat this bread, may the love of God fill us. And as we take our cup, as we drink this wine, may the grace of God engulf us. The peace. The angels said it to startled shepherds, and Jesus said it to frightened followers. And now these words, which come from heaven, are shared to make us whole and make us one. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Go now. You have been fed. You have shared the living bread. You have been grafted to the vine. You have tasted heaven's new wine. Go now. You have been blessed. Jesus calls us each his guest. God knows our name and says we are wanted. And in our lives, God's seed is planted. Go now and go in Christ's own peace. And in our going, let's not cease to love ourselves. We are God's treasure. And love the world. It is God's pleasure. And love the Lord in greatest measure. Amen. So as a way of sharing the peace with each other, which is difficult to do on Zoom, I had a recent request for Taizé. So we're going to close with a Taizé chant. But I just wonder, seeing all your faces on the screen, if we could all do the sign of the peace to each other. Peace be with you. That's really beautiful. Thank you, everybody. So let's listen or sing along now to the beautiful Taizé chant. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. Thank you all so much for worshipping together. And as we go out into the world again, remember that Jesus is always near. All we need to do is look to God and never fear. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain upon each and every one of us today and forevermore. Amen. We're not going to have breakout rooms today because we're at 12 o'clock already, I'm afraid. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name.
Thy kingdom
come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever
and ever.
Amen.